Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with Dr. Cheryl and team. And our topic today is continuing from our last episode on gratitude. And for more about gratitude, here's Dr. Cheryl.
Hi, that was my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Candace. I figured that it would be wonderful for him to actually start the show. I'm always seeming to start the show. And we're going to continue on gratitude as it relates to inner healing. It's in the, you know, the gratitude is a gift. And for those who wanted to know what we talked about, just feel free to listen to part one, because that is a prelude to part two. And in a couple of minutes, we are going to have Caitlin, Nana from Facebook. She's about 19 years old, and really, she's such a lover of the Lord and in His presence. And she's going to come in and talk about an article that the Lord put in her heart for Facebook. And she's going to also pray an impartation for those who need to receive more of the glory of the Lord so that they can enter into that rest, because that's what this season of summer is all about. It's all about rest. And for those of you who are wondering, when you see my Facebook, does she ever get rest? Well, let's just put it this way. Even though, you know, we lead, and, you know, we're considered leaders on some level. I'm not talking about the upper crust leadership, because there are many other people who, you know, have major ministries, and they travel all over the place, and, you know, they hardly spend time home with their families. We are quite the opposite. We have, you know, family members here living with us, and I do this from my home in our home studio. We do the radio broadcast, and we do the internet television broadcast. And then during the weekday, I, like everybody else, I hang up my ministry hat and I go to work. Well, actually, you take ministry with you on your workplace, as you heard from Mike Tonello of the Workplace Christian, and he has his show on Blog Talk Radio as well. And you never really quite put down ministry. Matter of fact, there's a friend of mine that just became a friend of mine. They had changed my route on my job, my bus route. I drive people, you know, children in wheelchairs to their home and from school to home. And that's not what I do only. I know everybody's like, well, she's got this doctorate, and I also have a master's of education counseling. I'm being obedient to the Lord. The Lord is setting up a situation for us where we will eventually go into ministry full time as far as paid ministry. But we are, for the last 10 years, have been offering up our ministry as a sacrifice unto the Lord. And at different times, we have, you know, the Lord's blessed us in many ways, you know, with the even the gift of being able to come up with the content for what we do, what we do on media, what we do on regarding the television outreach as well as the radio venue. And I've been in media since 1999 officially, where I was drafted in by Sir New England Outreach to promote their outreach to the community. And I went down to public access cable in our town, and because I had a nonprofit organization myself that I was just offering up to the Lord, they said that if we had a show in mind, we could have a permanent plot and they'd train us for free. So that's exactly what happened. We got this training for free, and they helped us with editing. And I mean, we still have to tweak some things. We have to update our equipment, and especially when it comes to the camera. I don't always want to be confined to a laptop, and I believe in God for a wonderful digital HD cam. And, you know, we have to get that lighting down just right. But, you know, to make a long story short, I don't want to take away the program intention here. And, of course, it's Saturday, July 19th, and this is WSCIRO on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Kenneth, and I'm Dr. Cheryl. Well, you know, there's been a lot of wonderful things that God has been doing through his people, through our Facebook friends, and a lot of people are doing a lot of introspection and looking at, you know, at their conscience and examining where they are, you know, and how they can be more effective as a Christian witness through all walks of life, okay? And a lot of times people can get into some discussions and it just feels like, it looks like it's going in the direction of backbiting when it doesn't need to. And, you know, and then, you know, when I see something like that, I just like to just kind of come in there with the love of God and the compassion of God. And some people get offended and they say that I'm dominating the conversation. And for those people, I just want to offer my apologies if you feel that way. And I will definitely, I know who you are because you've written to me through the Facebook email, and I will honor your request for that. Some people have had other people instead of directly relating to me and telling me this, have sent other people from, you know, other friends of their own ministry to tell me the same thing. But I like direct. I like for people to directly tell me instead of the third party here say that's just out of respect. What I wanted to talk about is a status update that a particular person who has a high place in media ministry and is well respected put this out, and it just really did bother me. I'm not going to say it did not. I'm not mentioning this person's name for integrity purposes, but it just, the quote was just so vague, and they didn't expect people outside of their circle of friends to respond in the way that they did. And I was told to, you know, cut down my responses, and, you know, and they didn't want the input of somebody coming from a counseling pastoral background, but it was basically something that, you know, had a Christian relationship significance to this, you know, especially how brother is to relate to brother or sister, how is to relate to each other in the body of Christ. And the quote just went like this: stop wasting your time trying to help people who won't admit they have a problem. Now, coming from a Christian perspective and background, in reading all the scriptures in which Jesus, you know, was there to help people out, and he looked at the needs of the people, but he separated his public ministry as far as preaching and teaching on salvation. Lots of times he separated that and spoke to leaders a certain way, and then spoke to the Anoim, the little people that we receive as little people. Actually, I feel like a little person at times, and a lot of leaders make me feel that way, but, you know, that's just the way that God wants me, my position to be, so I don't feel like I'm full of myself, although when I do speak up, there are people thinking that I feel like I'm full of myself, but I'm actually speaking on behalf of little people, and that includes me. So anyways, so what happens is that there's one way that the Lord ministers to people that are victims of bad leadership, and then he ministers to those who are in the leadership and authority. And the point that I was trying to make those key points as a counselor, as somebody representing Jesus in the council of people, and how, in a position that each Christian should take, no matter what background they're from, to be Christ to a fallen world, whether they're fallen people that are supposedly in leadership positions and they, have an influence over many people, or people that are broken, and you know they're having a very hard time in the character development. Okay, I think you know in order for a leader to be effective, they need to understand the nature of what it means to be human in this world, and to help in the restoration process, and to walk more in compassion in that reality. Also, to know what their limitations are, but to communicate that in love. And lots of times, the way people write, it sounds like they're screaming, and then when they don't use descriptive words to describe the attitude in which we should be there for our brothers or sisters in need, no matter what it is, no matter if it's psychological, emotional, spiritual, intellectual, or physical, okay? And there's a lot of people out there, for some reason, that are just struggling with mental illnesses. It's just the way that it is. And, you know, you have two kinds of viewpoints. The first viewpoint is, well, why don't you just, just pray, or why don't you just forget about it and do something else and get your mind off of it, or you know, or if they don't, you know, it's like they get accused of not having enough faith, or if they just don't get it because other things are going on that maybe people that are experts need to, you know, be consulted regarding certain conditions of a person. You have to solve those problems, you know, if they get in the way of the spiritual first, okay? So all this is going on in my mind when I was reading this statement, stop wasting your time trying to help people who won't admit that they have a problem. Now, the only way that I can really be licensed, you know, to comment on that is if I had training in that background, you know, so if it's right under my nose, and I have both, okay? And my daughter, and I don't know who watches Faith Talk Live Prayer on Blog TV or who's listened to the show on addiction, but my older daughter, who I love, I bore her, okay, she, when she grew up, okay, according to the United States of America's Constitution, after age 18, she was on her own, but there was a time period where I had more illegal ground to make sure she got some help because she had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder when she was a young girl, and there were some suicidal tendencies, but that was only because we, you know, because of my own background that wasn't dealt with, and I finally admitted to a problem and sought the help that I needed in the process, received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but there was some fallout there, and I think many people live in this situation, okay, and the Lord just wanted to show me how he was the restorer of the breached. All right, so what happened was there was some residual effects, and it just happened that my choices had affected my kids. But as I, you know, got more informed, became more educated as to what is going on psychologically, spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, and physically with each and every one of my children, I was able to see better. The Lord gave me wisdom through the power of prayer to see what more into what is going on with each child. So I want to get back to my older daughter. When she was 4 years old, she was always fascinated with medications. She has what you call pica. She always had to taste a chalky substance. And so there are times where, you know, if when I left her with a babysitter, you know, when I had to go to work or go shopping, she had gotten into these medications, okay? So I would have to take her back and forth to the hospital, and I'm thinking, what's going on with these medications that she's drawn to? She's the only one that's drawn to this. And then when she was 11 years old, a depression was setting in with her, and she was diagnosed with ADHD and post-trauma from when I was in a very bad situation. And we started a series of counseling, and I started praying more for her. And there was one problem. she didn't want to take medication, and I was going to force her as a mom. What can I do? You know, but she was still manageable until her hormones kicked in. Okay. Now I have a caller. Okay, hold on for 1 second. Hi, Kate.
Hey, Shirley.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I just want to I'll get to you at one point that everybody knows you're coming on to pray. But I was telling the viewing and listening audience about, you know, I was relating a statement that actually I got off of Facebook, a particular person who has a very huge influence with media put up the statement, and I had to respond to it. And for integrity purposes, I will not mention names because that is not cool. But it's not, right? You know. Anyways, stop wasting your time trying to help people who won't admit they have a problem. So I wanted to, you know, biblically bring some key points as to when to do that, when it's appropriate and when it's not, and, you know, and how we have to exercise everything that we have spiritually within us to get to that point where, you know, we're going to do all we can so that it doesn't get to that point. So I was offering up how my older daughter, had the fascination with medications when she was younger, and then she was diagnosed, and that's when you came on with ADHD and post-trauma, and it was also an underlying, at that point, it wasn't fully manifested, bipolar personality, and of course, people that listen to this is like, well, you're a woman of faith, how come you didn't pray? I prayed, and for some reason, God, you know, has a way for people, okay? My daughter also loves people, and I, you know, the Lord's told me lots of times he's going to put her in situations to train up her missionary, you know, gifts, and she's not afraid to deal with anybody, you know what I mean? But there was one problem. She wasn't dealing with herself. But, you know, if I listen to stop wasting your time trying to help people who won't admit they have a problem, then at that point, I would have been guilty of neglecting my daughter and her needs. You know, in Massachusetts, they file 51As on you for neglect. So I ought to always make sure that I got help for her as she needed the help and put the right people around her. But when she reached 18, she thought she had it all together, and she fell flat on her face and, you know, kind of played around with, I don't want to take this medication. I'm not going to listen to this doctor. She found out she had bipolar disorder. Mm. And, yeah, and so at some point, because she had, she supposedly had her life in her own hands, and she didn't like some of the medication, she decided to go by the way of street drugs and, you know, put a sack into her hands, take her life into her own hands, and she almost took her life. And that was about a year ago. Yeah, and so the thing being is that she loved people, but she was addicted to people too much. She had her ups and she had her downs. That's associated with bipolar disorder. And so, you know.
She's back on the medicine?
She's back on the medicine. Now she's in rehab, and I take her to rehab. And if I had given up on her, if I had believed this all the way, stop wasting your time trying to help people who won't admit that they have a problem, there was a time when she was in total denial. And my husband and I would tell her, Jacqueline, you're in denial. You're in total denial. And she goes, I knew when she was, you know, trying to make up an excuse, that something that I wanted to hear, that there was going to be a time, you know, and we kept praying that she was going to reach the end of herself, you know. But he was going to be there for her. That was the other side to it. He was going to be there for her. So, Kate, you know, like, can you offer, like, what do you have to say to that statement, like, stop wasting your time trying to help people who won't admit they have a problem. What do you want to say to that? And then we can go into some prayer. You can talk about what, you know, the Lord put on your heart about writing, you know, what you wrote on Facebook. So, I mean, I'm kind of throwing a lot at you. But
what was the statement again?
Said stop wasting your time trying to help people who won't admit that they have a problem, you know.
Well, that's dumb.
Well, I mean, you're 19. Well, I mean, what does that say to you? If you heard somebody from, like, a generation that quite doesn't get you know, that quite doesn't understand the younger generation. What can you say to that? I mean, you know, what are your thoughts? How do you deal with people?
Well, I know that, like, I'll take it from a personal standpoint, that if I was, you know, I struggled with depression and stuff, and if people would have given up on me, my life would have been gone, you know, like, I'd be dead right now, you know, and it's like, that's just how it goes. Like, you know, God, does Jesus ever give up on us? No. I mean, he's with us forever, no matter what kind of crap we get ourselves involved with. So, you know, if he's with us, shouldn't we love everybody the same? I mean, because some people don't, it takes a while for people sometimes to realize that they're in, you know, they're in sin, or that they're falling short, or that they're struggling with something. You know, it takes a while, and you just have to, and if you can't feel like you, if you physically can't, like, say you're involved with somebody's life, and they're, like, involved with something, and you can't, they just don't want your help, I mean, at least pray for them. Don't cut them out completely. That's kind of, that's a weird statement.
I mean, that is a weird statement. Yeah, yeah.
Did that come from a Christian? I mean, that's like...
Yeah, that did. Yeah, it did. It did. And, you know, I was... The worst that he ever told me was don't, you know, be... I was so taken by that I felt as a person, as a human being, not even as a counselor, but I brought that in as a pastoral counselor, you know, and as a counselor that was trained in secular counseling. We have to... You know, take people in, you know, sometimes that are in partial denial. People are not always in total denial. They know something's going on. They know the marvels aren't all there because everybody tells them. But the reason they, a lot of them don't deal with this, you know, stuff right away, it's too painful for them. And, you know, they do what they call a dissociation. Like, they separate
right.
from themselves. So they it's a way of protecting themselves so they don't get, like, a nervous breakdown, you know what I mean? And then, but because they need to participate in their own healing process.
Right. And the thing is, I mean, I guess we have to look at it from the perspective of what if somebody would have given up on us, you know, whether it's just the people or the Lord himself, you know? Where would we be? You know, would we be here? Would we be who we are today? No. I mean, I guess it's one thing if the person cuts you out of their life. That's kind of like, okay, you cut me out of your life, but... Just to do that to somebody, that's not cool.
Right. Yeah, and the thing being is that, you know, like you said, prayer, a lot of people like to poo-poo at prayer. They're like, they don't think, you know, prayer means anything because, you know, first of all, they may not see the results right away. And the other instances, they may see the results right away. It depends on who's praying. But it also depends on what kind of timing the Lord has for that person's healing, you know, and what he wants to
right.
do in their life. I know that my grandmother never preached to me the gospel, but she was a prayer warrior. All she did was smile at me. She had a Bible in her hand. She was like the only Baptist, the rest were the Catholic. She raised everybody Catholic. She was a Baptist. It's so amazing. And you know, every time, I can always tell her everything. She was so accepting. I told her things I couldn't even tell my mom. And when she died, you know, I had been pregnant with my firstborn out of wedlock, but living with, you know, his father and a college student. And what happened was she would send me for Christmas every month the version of our daily bread, monthly version, and it was always right on. And then when she passed away to be with the Lord, I was still getting them like she was sending them to me from heaven.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, isn't that awesome? So, you know, so every time, like recently, I had a dream, and it was something that the Lord wanted to do with me spiritually. It was last night, and my grandmother's like in my dream, like silent, and then my sister was in my dream with me, so it was something she was communicating to me about, you know, reconciling with my sister, right? And there was other things that were going on in that dream, and I'm saying to myself, oh my gosh, the Lord sent it to my grandmother, you know, and she doesn't talk to me. It's just, her, you know, she's just there silently, like she, you know, silently looking at me, you know. And then I told my sister in the dream, I said, Grandma's here. And then after I turned around, and she was gone because however God was using her in the dream brought something to my attention, something that I need to work on, you know. So it was like, I don't know. It's, I mean, God knows what he needs to do to get our attention. And man can bring us to a certain kind of attention, but then, you know, we can't solve like this. I was at church today, and the pastor was talking about there are two kinds of compassion, human compassion and God's compassion. He goes, God's compassion far outweighs human compassion. And that's what we should be focusing on, you know, as Christians, you know, in our gratitude, you know, towards God and what he's doing and stuff. You know, we have to get over to Christian compassion. You know?
Yeah, and the thing about that statement, too, like, is, you know, we don't know what somebody's going through in their personal life. You know what I mean? Like, I've talked to people who, you know, they might want help, but they can't relate it to somebody, but they've gone through, like, everything possible you could possibly go through, you know, horrible stuff, and they don't know that they can be helped, you know, because they think that, you know, they think they have been under too much, you know, trials and stuff that they can't be helped, you know, they don't understand, so people don't know their personal life either, so.
Yeah, and they don't even know that they can even ask the question to ask for help, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like my son, Joshua, who some people saw the hand of God come out over him. It's a picture we have on the internet. He's autistic, and he does not have, he's very silent a lot. He doesn't like to speak. And what happens is that the first thing that they showed him for sign language, because, you know, he had a speech deficit, communication deficit, they showed him how to ask for help. It's like a fist over hand. I need help. And I think that that's what many people need to be taught. They need to be taught to ask for help, you know, ask for prayer, ask for help. And I think we need to start there. We need to start, like, you know, simply, you know, what do you need? Maybe as Christians, you know, we need to exercise our compassion, ask what do you need, and not be afraid of the answer.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Caitlin, how long have you been on Facebook? And how the listening audience, what your experience here has been as far as helping people and what, you know, victories you witnessed? And, you know, you talk about your article. We got about 36 minutes, so you're good.
gosh, I don't know.
Well, remember how you asked me the first time you talked to me on the phone? You know what I fear when somebody calls me on the phone from Facebook or any of the social networking things. They always ask that question. And so when did you come to the Lord, and what was like the significant God encounter? I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to go all the way back. So I don't want to do that with you, but you're only 19, okay?
I've lived that much more like it.
Yeah. God's done a lot for you, like, in only 19 years, you know? I've shared with you some of my experiences and how the Lord tapped me on the shoulder. And, you know, it's funny how we have a lot in common, but I just want the listening audience to hear, like, how you were raised in the glory, and then, you know, you have about a half an hour, so you're good. All right, go on.
So basically my testimony type thing?
Yeah,
what I shared with you before?
Testimony, yeah.
Okay. I was saved when I was three, you know, and my parents, we lived down in Lakeland, you know, where there was a big revival last year, and my parents, there were revival services then with Rodney Howard Brown and stuff, so I was kind of raised in that atmosphere. And then all through growing up, I was totally, totally desperate for God's presence. Like, I was like, Lord, I want more of you, because I grew up in his presence, you know? And my parents just, like, you know, my parents were such an encouragement to me, because, you know, they love the Lord so much, and I was like, Lord, I want more, you know? And, I would go out to grocery stores when I was like a 6-7-year-old girl, and I would go around and preach and be like, you know, Jesus loves you, he wants to save you, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, I would, you know, I saw, like, I started experiencing, like, seeing the supernatural and stuff. I'd see, like, demons and stuff when I was a little girl. It was kind of freaky, but, you know. And that continued for, like, a year. And then after that, I just started to be prayed to just, like, to really be filled with him and filled with his presence and with his spirit and stuff. And, you know, when I was 11, I got filled with the spirit. And then when I was, goodness, right after that, I got attacked majorly by the devil. And when I got attacked, sorry, I'm in Walmart and my parents are talking to me.
you're in Walmart.
Yeah, I'm trying to focus. My dad's like, I need you. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. when I was 11, I got attacked majorly with depression. And, you know, the devil kept whispering stuff in my ear about, you know, oh, you, God's not real. And even if God's real, you know, you don't deserve him. He doesn't love you. You're going to hell. All this stuff. For 4.5 years, I was under that. And I pushed and I pushed and I pushed. I'm like, God, where are you? Because I'd grown up in his presence, and that was all I desired and was desperate for. And then I went, on top of that, I went to church, and the people at church, I got, like, physically abused at church. I got people coming against me, saying all this crap about me and stuff, and I just totally, like, was like, oh my goodness, if Christians hate me, God must hate me, you know? And then I had been homeschooled from third grade to the end of eighth grade, so when I started ninth grade, I went to a public high school, and yeah, as you can imagine, walking from a sheltered little lifestyle into a public high school, that was just a tad bit scary, and the 1 month after I started in high school, we were in English class, and they had this book that was just so blasphemous to the Lord, and I was like, I'm sorry, but I can't read this. Can I read something else? And as soon as I started reading that book, as soon as I made that statement about that, the teacher, like, started laughing at me, and all the students, like, and by the end of the day, it was around the entire school. Like, 1,000 kids were, like, harassing me because I stuck up for my faith, and I'm like, okay. So it was the beginning of my freshman year, and then for two years after that, every day I'd have bomb threats, I'd have gun threats against me, I had people, you know, trying to touch me inappropriately, I had all kinds of things, I had many rumors spread about me, I had people throwing stuff at me, just a bunch of really, really bad stuff happened to me in high school. And during this time, I didn't have a church, because churches totally, like, you know, shunned me, and I was going through this spiritual depression, and I didn't have any friends. And finally, I made one friend, but she wasn't the best friend in the world. And I, when I was a sophomore in high school, about 15 and a half, the Lord, I was finally like, okay, God, I'm like, I give up. I'm like, I'm just totally going to, like, walk away from this whole thing because, you know, I can't do it anymore. And maybe I could have somewhat of a normal lifestyle if I walk away. So then as I say that, there's a storm outside, and the Lord opens up the heavens and, you know, just totally breaks through in the heavens. And it was pouring down rain, and he opened up the heavens, and there was a shooting star, and I finally heard his voice for the first time in 4.5 years. And for these 4.5 years, I would spend 5 hours a night just, like, totally, like, praying and saying, Lord, where are you? Because I'd, you know, I'd grown up in his presence. So I would spend 5 hours a night just pressing in and pressing in for 4.5 years, and no breakthrough until this day. And then finally after that day, you know, I was back in his presence. I was having encounters with him. You know, I was having visions. I was having all kinds of stuff. And I was like, yes, finally, this is what I wanted, you know. And then I start my junior year in high school, which was back in 2006. And I started into that, and it was the absolute worst year of all of my high school experience. And I made my one friend, you know, she totally, like, came against me, and she was my only friend I had, and she came against me, and she's, you know, starts spreading this rumor that I'm, like, a lesbian, and I was hitting on her, and all kinds of really bad stuff, and, you know, she called me fat, and all this stuff, and it was really hurtful, because I was like, oh, I was like, Lord, I just want one friend, you know, and so I got drunk a couple times, and I just was so desperate. I'm like, Lord, I can't do this anymore, and then I got an eating disorder for about 3 months, and it's really just a bunch of junk happened. And then finally, at the end of that year, you know, all this, after she did that, she was like my only covering. So after she withdrew her friendship, I got even more harassment, and, you know, I could barely, I was freaking out every day to go to high school. You know, I was like, oh, my goodness, Lord, I can't do this. I'm going to just, I was so tempted to get my GED. I was so tempted to drop out, you know, because it was like the worst possible high school experience you could ever experience, you know. And then when I was, when I was in May of that year, May 2007, I talked to the guidance counselor one day because it was like the day that just I was in the cafeteria and everybody was throwing food at me and making fun of me and harassing me and trying to trip me and all kinds of crap. And I was just like, you know, I'm going to go to the guidance counselor. And so I went to her and she contacted the local, what's it called? Like the insane asylum type place, you know?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so she contacts this lady and this lady comes in and they're like, we have a counselor that wants to talk to you. I'm like, okay. You know, cause I didn't know she was an insane asylum person. And so this lady comes in and she's like, you know, tell me your story. So I told her everything that had happened in the last 3 years at high school, you know, and how horrible it was. I cried, you know, I was so broken, you know? And then, like, this lady, like, she's like, well, we think you need to go to the Meadows, which was, like, the local insane asylum. I'm like, what? I'm like, I didn't do anything, you know? And she's like, well, you're crazy, and, you know, everybody knows you are, and you just need to be locked up for a couple months, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, wow, you know? And so after that, like, it was just, you know, I'd had my breakthrough with the Lord. I finally was in his presence and stuff, but yet I was, like, so off the deep end that year because I was so depressed, you know, again, but it wasn't the same kind of depression. And that last day of high school of 2000, or like last day of junior year of high school in 2007, I was just like, okay, you know what, this is horrible. And that last day, somebody came up to me and said, oh, we just all wish you would die. And I was like, oh my, you know, and it went right, it's like the devil like kept repeating that to me for the next couple of days, and it went right into my, like, my memory, and it just was haunting me every day. And my parents went away for their 25th anniversary, and I was left with my gram. So I was like, you know what, this is the weekend I'm just going to end my life. And I'd never tried anything before. I mean, I tried to, you know, cut myself with, like, knives and stuff. I had them up to my neck, but I never was actually serious, you know. And then that day, like, my gram took me out to eat at Dairy Queen to get a dessert, and I went with her, and then I was like, you know, I should just step off the road and get hit by a car, you know? And then the Lord's like, what are you doing, Kate? He's like, you know, I love you, and that's all that matters. And I'm like, oh, fine, whatever, you know? So I step back on the curb, and then later that evening, like, I just get tortured by these spirits that are just like, oh, you know, you're no good. Nobody likes you. You should just end it. So I OD'd on my inhaler that I had for my allergies, and I mean, it said on the thing, when I looked it up later, it said that if you did, like, more than 10 puffs, that your brain cells would either die or you'd be, like, dead. So, and I was like, okay. So I find that out later. Well, I did, like, at least 40 puffs of that thing. And I should, yeah, you know, and I felt myself just, like, fading. You know, I really did. And I didn't know if I was dying or whatever I was doing, but I cried out. I'm like, God, what am I doing? You know, and he, like, totally brings me back. Like, it was getting real dark, but then it, like, gets light again, you know? And yeah, it was cool because he's just, like, you know, after that, then he's, after that day when my parents found out and stuff and all kinds of stuff happened, and the Lord just was like to me, you know, I'm going to bring you joy for the mourning that you've suffered, you know? And he's, wow. I mean, that's exactly what he's done for me for the last 2 years, like, just pure ecstatic joy in his love, you know? And it's just beautiful. So, and I was just freed from depression that day. Like, you know, sometimes it tries to come back, but I just have to rebuke it. Like, hey, no, in Jesus' name, you know, go away. But it's just awesome because it's like, you know, some people are on meds for depression. Some people, you know, have to do a bunch of stuff. Right. But Jesus freed me. And I'm like, yay, Jesus. So.
And you have the start in your life of being in the glory when you were a baby, just about, right? I mean, not too many, you know, kids have that opportunity. And
I would go to all the Rodney Howard Brown meetings for the first, like, 3-4 years of my life. And, you know, I was dedicated to the Lord in one of the services and stuff. So I grew up in the glory.
Yes, the glory. But anyway, So with you right now, you invented the rest of the Lord, okay? And what do you want to, you know, to share with kids, you know, young people in your generation and anybody that's listening to this, because everybody could use an impartation. I mean, you wrote a very nice note on Facebook called The Simplicity of Living Inside of His Heart. And mm-hmm. I heard the heart of the Lord one time when I went into the Spirit, when it was just me and Him. I was on my bus. I went into a deep, you know, trance. And I heard the slow heartbeat of the Lord. I was in His heartbeat, you know, as a worshiper. It's like, you know, the Lord gives you these wonderful treats from heaven. But you wrote about, you know, the simplicity of living inside His heart. So can you tell more about that? I have the article right in front of me, so I don't know if you remember what you wrote, or do you want
to? Gosh, I don't know. I was pretty wasted in Jesus when I wrote that. So
it comes in download. So this is what the Lord downloaded to Kate. And then Kate, if there's anything you want to talk about this, you know, in this particular part of the radio broadcast, feel free to interject. But it says, if the church only knew the simplicity of being the Lord's presence, of being in the Lord's presence. Religious tradition and the doctrine of man, works programs, and know Jesus have made God out to be a God of fear, horrid, greed, anything He is not. Then the doctrine of man preaches if He finds you appeased in all your works and programs, you just might, yes, you heard me, might get healed, or, whoa, you might get saved. Oh, my. Yeah, that's definitely the Lord I know, right? No, here's the thing. You're getting drunk. Here's the thing. There's simplicity to being in His presence, yeah? You don't have to shout at the heavens.
Ooh.
Yeah. Quote the King James Bible. Have every program in the world. Or have a work that is dead because Jesus is not the focus. This simplicity is a lifestyle of a laid down lover. God has always desired those who love Him, and He loves them back. That's how mankind was supposed to be. God calls His friends, and He calls us friends. Those who seek Him and will desire intimacy with Him, that's what He calls friends. That's what it's all about, my friends. Simplicity in His presence. Not anything else but resting and waiting on Him and hearing His heartbeat, which is purely love for the world, you know? Wow. When I heard His heartbeat, it sounded just like this. It was really deep and hollow. It was like, I was felt chambers. It was like, doom. Like, and then, ba-bum. You know, and it was just like, it sounded like a big drum, you know, but it was like there's pauses in between. And it was just from within, I knew God was doing a work from within. He was doing something in my hearing as well. That was amazing. Years ago, I was at Friendly's restaurant.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I saw the other night, actually the reason I wrote that this morning was the other night when I was soaking, I had a vision of His heart, you know, and I was just, like, standing right outside of it, and I'm like, I want to feel your heartbeat, and He was just, like, telling me exactly what it wasn't so much feeling His heartbeat, but it was, like, tell me what His heartbeat is, you know, and it was so, so good, and I just was, like, oh, Jesus, and I just, like, heartbeat is, you know, love, He wants us to love Him, you know, and just, you know, just, I like what Heidi Baker says. She says, you know, His heart has a rhythm, His heart has a rhyme, and it's to live inside of His heart. And I'm like, that's good stuff.
Wow. And so you soak now, right? You soak. How many, I mean, if you want to put a time on it, you can't put a time on soaking His presence, because if you did, you'd be outside of His rest. So, what was the longest you've ever soaked? All day, you know, I mean, I know you soak evidently and then get downloads and then you're good at, you give people nuggets on Facebook. I've seen it. I've gotten blessed myself, you know. So, do you name a time? Do you set aside time to soak?
I don't know. Like, I try to live, like, a lifestyle of that, you know? Like, if I'm not actually laying down soaking, I'm, like, listening to worship music or I'm listening to soaking music, and I try to live it, you know? But actual soaking, the longest I ever soaked was probably about, like, 8 hours. So it was pretty crazy. But, you know, that's actual soaking. But I think that, you know, when you're a lover, I think it's like a lifestyle soaking, you know?
Yeah. So you could walk around, right? And then all of a sudden the presence would come around you in the middle of you doing stuff, but you're like in that rest. Is that what you're saying the soaking is for you?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, there's your actual soaking that people, you know, that like Toronto people consider soaking, you know, and
yeah,
I do that like every night, you know, like I don't so much pray, I just soak and spend time with them, you know, and but actually, I mean, I think it's a lifestyle soaking, you know, like I think like the mystics of old, you know, like Teresa of Avila and all those people, I think that's what they lived was just a lifestyle of soaking because it's an intimacy, you know.
Yeah, they were contemplatives. I actually see a sparkle on the rug as we're talking about soaking. And, wow, they're getting bigger. Oh, my. Anyways. Wow. Anyways. I have the Lord wanted me to keep a bus job instead of working in an office 9 to 5 because he wanted me to get into his presence because every time he shows up on the bus, it's amazing. Intoxication with his presence, you know. I mean, you can't go anywhere but drive, and I don't know how I drive because his presence comes over me when I'm driving, and you know, there are times I just pull over the side of the road.
The angels take the wheel.
Yeah, they do. It's amazing, but you know, I do. The Lord does allow me to finish my brush run, but then, you know, as you know, I'm done. I'm like, oh, I gotta go park, and then, you know, then he'll just download things or take me someplace. You know, it's like. And I don't even know what he's going to do when he's going to do it. He just does it. And then my husband would call me on my cell phone. He's like, so Shirley, where are you?
He's like, I don't
know. But he goes, I understand. Because he's been with me when this happened, you know. And then it'll come over him. And then we're like both like out of it. You know.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah. So, you know, what is your ministry? Is it impartation and soaking? You know, do you speak at churches and different things like that?
Well, I'm actually having I feel called to be a revivalist, you know? I just think that's the theme the Lord's given me. Goodness, I can't even remember it now.
What's it called? The glory.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's called Floodgate Revival Ministries, and it's a ministry that's just dedicated to like, what the Lord showed me is bringing like, you know, get the unsaved saved, the saved lovesick, and the lovesick even more lovesick. You know, like that's really what He's shown. It's His heartbeat, you know, and like. It's what I want for being a revivalist. You know, he showed me that, you know, a lot of revivalists, like, if you look at some people that are, you know, if you think of the main revivalists that you think of now, it's like they either are very much into the intimacy aspect or very much into the fire aspect, you know. But I think they're both, they need to be together. You know, fire, I wrote a note about that a couple of months ago. I don't know if you ever read that, but it's called a lifestyle of fire and intimacy, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like that's what revival is all about, is you can't have the intimacy without the fire, but you can't have the fire without the intimacy, because it's just that level of, goodness, intense, just, you know, of his passion, because the passion comes from intimacy, but yet the fire means passion too, so the two of them need to be together. So that's really what my, you know, what I feel called the Lord wants me to do is bring the fiery intimacy, so yeah.
Well, the fire burns all the dross or the impurities out of us, you know.
Right. And the healing and stuff. But
the healing.
The intimacy is needed, though, because a lot of people don't realize that there's a level of intimacy with him, you know.
That's right. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Wow.
And next week, I'm actually speaking at my first church next week. I've never had an actual speaking engagement yet, but I have my first one this Saturday, actually, and I'm really excited. It's a youth conference in Alabama, so I'm excited.
Oh, so. Excellent. Wow. Oh, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Is this because of your involvement on Facebook or just somebody that knew you or something?
I met the pastor on Facebook, back in like September or something. And we didn't really talk that much until like the last like 4 or 5 months or whatever. And then one day, he's very prophetic. And one day he wrote to me and he's like, "Hey, Kate," he's like, "I'd love to have you sometime at my church." And I laughed and I'm like, "Oh, okay, haha." Because I thought he was joking, But he's like, "No, I mean it." He's like, "In fact, let's do it at the end of July." And I'm like, "Are you serious?" I've never had an opportunity yet, so I'm really excited about it. But the thing is, it's like youth, so I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm speaking to people my age. That's kind of weird because I can talk to people older, but it's weird to talk to people my age because it's like they're my age. It seems weird, You would think you'd be more, uptight about talking to older people, but for me, it's the people my age. So I'm like,
wow. Well, maybe the Lord's just going to have you stand there, and His glory is going to just ooze from you, and they're all going to go out in the spirit.
Hey, I hope so. I mean, I have a couple people I'm going to call that day, and they're like, okay, please release the shingding, release the glory, please. Some of my intercessors that I'm friends with, the cool thing is the Lord downloaded a message to me that I'm supposed to speak next week. So I'm really excited about that. He gave me a dream a couple weeks ago about it. So I'm like, okay, Lord, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. So,
amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Wow. Well, I saw that other part happening. So maybe after you give the talk from heaven, the Lord's going to just come right on in there.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about.
The time that the first conversation that we had, I saw you talking to leaders in the nations. Actually, the second conversation, I did. The Lord's giving you favor to even release this to leaders in nations. And it's amazing.
Wow.
I just got this huge anointing over you for that. Yeah. This, that, because you can talk to the older people. See, you guys use you as a forerunner, even to inform the other generation, the older people, much older than yourself, what's going on, and there's favor there, and they're going to be in positions where they're going to just be able to place you, where these leaders are. So praise the Lord. Love on Kate. We just ask for a blessing for her right now. And we have 10 minutes. And Kate, before we leave, I just want you to pray over. I'm going to be selfish. You save me to last, but pray over everybody. Pray for the viewing audience. If there's any word that you have, release it. And and pray for me myself. I could stand to use bread. Before you do, I just want to let everybody know when I was doing laundry yesterday, I put this on my status column. My husband and I were just looking up at the sky, the Lord's been doing a lot with sky writing and angels. He's been just showing me different things. And I was like, I saw these, horses with angels on them coming from heaven.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then another part of the sky, I saw the rainbows in the wings. So the Lord showed me that's the angel. It's the body and it's the rainbow on, in a section of a certain cloud. And then I saw this tail, it's a vertebrae, and it looked like a backbone, all right, of the skeleton, and it looked like vertebrae. You can see it looked like human vertebrae. It wasn't completely straight like human vertebrae. It's a little crooked, a little crooked, but it goes in a straight line, and it looked like a bone. And I'm thinking, what is that, Lord? Lord said, I'm strengthening the Christian backbone of this nation. And I'm also healing, this is, I'm releasing creative miracles for backs. I'm teaching you something different. I'm going to show you things in the heavens, literally in the heavens. And he goes, I am releasing, I'm going to create a miracle to strengthen people's backs and, new backbones. Yeah.
It was interesting because when you were saying to pray for people, that's immediately what I thought of for people's backs. So, and I didn't read anything about that this morning on Facebook. So that's
okay.
Interesting. Confirmation then. That's good stuff.
Well, why don't you release that? Let's go. Go for it. We have a couple minutes.
Well, Jesus, I just ask you, Lord, to just touch everybody who's listening to this, Lord. I just ask that you would just pour out your presence, Lord, and your fire upon them right now, Lord, and that you would just bring them closer to your heart, Lord, and that you would let them have the revelation of your heartbeat, Lord Jesus, and how beautiful you truly are, Lord Jesus. I just ask that you would just catch people in your eyes, Lord Jesus, and just don't let them go, Lord Jesus, and just captivate them, Lord. And Lord Jesus, I just ask that we get captivated in your eyes, Lord, and that you would just show us your love, Lord, and help us to walk in that, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I ask you, like, for surely with the back thing, Lord, we agreed, Lord, that you're going to release just creative miracles upon people's backs, Lord, and healings, that you'd create things that, you know, in the spine and stuff that are needed, Lord, that you would just replace backs, Lord, and just do complete creative miracles on backs, Lord, and on just complete healing, Lord, and restoration on every part of people's backs, Lord. And even in the spirit realm, Lord, I know Shirley and I have talked about this before, about, like, spirits that, are attached to backs and stuff with, like, it's different spirits, Lord. So I ask that you would just free people from, like, all those spirits, like the Judas spirit, Lord, and all those spirits that try to attack people in their back, Lord. I just ask that you would just send the angels to, just to free them from the attacks on the back, Lord, whether it be naturally or spiritually, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, I just ask for Shirley that you would just give her just more grace in her ministry, Lord, more grace in her radio, Lord, that you would touch more people, Lord, and that you would help the ministry to grow exponentially, Lord Jesus, and that you would give her and Jeffrey just more downloads of your presence, Lord, and that you would give just completely just ravish them and take over them completely, Lord Jesus, more than they've ever known, Lord. You would give them more signs and wonders, more miracles, more chances, more visions, more angelic visitations and visits from you yourself, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Oh. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like we're having the Mary and Elizabeth experience. You know, that Mary and Luke one. I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for how you're using Kate right now, Lord. I just thank you for blessing her. Thank you for her life. I thank you for what you're about ready to do. I thank you, Lord, for greater God encounters where she could just totally, like, get enveloped in the presence of God to the point that it just spreads to everybody out. And, you know, Lord, she hasn't spoken about it, but I pray for those, she gets frozen in the Holy Ghost, and where she doesn't even talk, and she just stands there, and, Lord, you're just oozing from her. We thank you for that. Well, and that people would feel this glory infusion in their being, and they would never be the same again. Everywhere she goes, we thank you, Lord. Oh, I release this right now in Jesus' name. Wow. Oh, greater translations. Ha ha. Greater translations. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you. I thank you for the vessel that she's becoming, Lord. Thank you for the perfecting of character that goes along with it, too. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing's wasted. Lord is saying nothing is wasted. In Jesus' name, nothing is wasted. Whoa. And bless her parents, her dear parents. Thank you, Lord. And their ministry as well.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we have a couple minutes left. I just want to, send a blessing to you as you travel. Travel in mercies and as you go to, Alabama, you said?
Yeah, I'm going. I'm going down next week and then to minister, and then I'm going up to Wisconsin the week after that to hang out with my best friends, and we're doing ministry. And then
the song, it was so funny, the song that I sang in first and second, third grade, I'm going to Alabama with a banjo on my knee. I'm going to Louisiana and I'm going to see. It rained so hard today, I left the weather, it was dry. The sun's so hot, I froze to death, Susanna, don't you cry. But
that's,
you know,
funny.
It was like, yeah, but the rain is in there, the frozen thing in the spirit. Whoa, we just thank you, Jesus. God has a sense of humor. Wow. Well, it's been a pleasure to, being able to talk with you like this on Blog Talk Radio. But anytime you want to talk to me, you got my cell phone number, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Well, talk to you later.
Have a good last show. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I will. All right. Bye, guys.